Stand up, please. Now, all over San Diego or all over the country, there's going to be Super Bowl parties and people are going to be cheering and excited. And I'm going to ask one more time because I believe we have the most exciting thing in the universe right here. So I'm going to ask you guys one more time. I want you to cheer like Jesus just scored a touchdown. Are you guys excited to be in church today? Amen. 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 Give someone next to you a high five. Have a seat, please. Well, welcome to the Rock Church. My name is Tommy. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are glad you're here. This is an exciting church to be a part of. Is there anyone who's just visiting for the first time? Bunch of you. Welcome to the Rock. Welcome to the Rock. We're glad you're here. We hope you enjoy it while you're here. And let me see your Bibles this morning. Do whatever you got to do, whatever you got to work it out. And real quick, I want to make one quick announcement. Today is my father-in-law's 61st birthday, so what I want you to do, he's sitting right up there. I want everyone to turn around, and on the count of three, I want you to say, happy birthday, Dad. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday, Dad. Wave for him. It's your birthday, too? Happy birthday, this guy. Anybody else? Happy birthday, that girl. This guy. Now I think everyone's just raising their hands. It's my birthday, too. Open your Bibles, please, if you could, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 is the first book of the New Testament, one of the Gospels. And let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for just allowing us this place. And Lord, I pray we never lose the excitement of just coming together in your name, your word. Lord, I pray you speak to us, speak to each and every person in this room, those that know you and those that don't know you. I pray that you would speak to them in the ways only the Holy Spirit can. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew 5. The question I have for you for this entire day, it's the name of the sermon, is who are you? Who are you? That's my question. Who are you? Now, I'm talking to those of you who call Christ your Lord, that call yourself Christians. Christian means, actually, literally means little Christ. And my question for you is, who are you? And look what Jesus says about that. Matthew 5, chapter, or verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot is worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to the entire house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." If you're filling in your blanks, the first one is, we are here to be salt and light. Jesus says that's who you are. You're salt and light for this world, for this community, for us, for San Diego. Now, I get light. That one makes sense. You turn on the light and it lights up the whole room. I understood that. But when I read this, I didn't know what they meant by salt because I wasn't sure. You know, it talks about flavor, but then it talks about trampled underfoot as worthless. So I thought, you know, what does it mean to trampled underfoot, this kind of stuff? What kind of salt are they talking about? Because where I'm from, in Nebraska, when it's cold, they when it's icy, they throw salt out in the streets, and it helps the ice melt. And I thought maybe that's what I was talking about, that trample underfoot salt. And we actually, when I was a kid, I used to ride my motorcycle back over our back pasture. There was another guy's property, a farmer, and he didn't usually like us riding back there, so he would shoot us with salt gun. And You know, so I know what salt's like shot from a shotgun. And I mean, we was just kids fun. We'd sometimes egg his house and slit his tires. You know, just good, clean kids fun. Salt. Jesus says, you're here to be salt. What does that mean? Now, when he said that to these people, to the people he was talking to, they knew what he was talking about. They knew what he was talking about. Because in Leviticus, you don't need to turn there, but in Leviticus 2, which is the book of the law, it says, season all your grain offerings with salt to remind you of God's eternal covenant. To remind you of God's eternal covenant. When Jesus says you're the salt of the earth, you're here to remind the world of God's eternal covenant, to remind San Diego of God's eternal covenant. And I'm not talking about just coming together here in the room. I'm talking about wherever you are, you're to be salt of the earth. We're here to remind people of God's covenant, for people to see Jesus in us when we're out in the world. Not just when we're here on Sundays, raise our hand, but when we're out in the world. If the seasoning, it says, if it has no flavor, it has no value. He also says, Jesus says in Luke, Jesus says, salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good, neither good for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Do you know, if Christians make no effort to affect the world around them, they're a little or no value to God. I mean, literally what Jesus says, that the salt is not good for the manure pile. You know, if you're not making an effort to affect the world around you, if you're flavorless salt, God's words are, you're not good for, you know, there's a modern translation. I was going to make that one of the lesson plan points, but I thought I would get a lot of emails about that. If you're not making an effort to affect the world around you, you're of little or no value to God. So when I ask, who are you as a Christian? You need to know what God says we should be as a Christian. You need to know what the Bible says about who you are, not what religion tells you that you should be. You know, Jesus was not a religious person. When he came here, he was not a religious person. And he, as a matter of fact, the only people he really didn't like were the religious people, the religious leaders. There was a group of people called the Pharisees, and what they were, that literally means set apart, and they thought they were better than everybody else, and that's who Jesus came against most of the time. And do you know, even though we don't use that word, you need to know there's modern-day Pharisees in our church. There's still people who say we need to just huddle up and just do our thing. Well, that's not what God says. God says you're to be salt and you're to be light for this world. You know, I was blown away at how much people chimed in on the fact that Miles went to the sports arena and preached the gospel. And let me tell you right now, if anyone tells you for any reason that you shouldn't go anywhere and preach the gospel, that's false teaching, okay? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that's what we're supposed to do. We're here to be a light for the world, a light for the community. You need to know what God says about what we are as a church and who we are individually. In Psalms, God says every one of you is fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us individually to play a part, and he gives us all special gifts and talents, and that's why it's a waste of time to ever compare yourself to someone else, because God made you specifically to do what you can do. If you could turn a couple books to your right to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 was written by the Apostle Paul, and he was actually someone who was a Pharisee, and he used to persecute Christians, and finally one day Jesus knocked him off his horse and blinded him for a few days and basically said, why are you messing with my people? And he turned around and ended up being one of the great apostles and writing a good portion of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. So Paul says, pay attention, this is important. Regarding your question about special abilities that the Spirit gives us, he says, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You need to know what gifts, what special abilities did the Spirit give you. If you have your lesson plan, number 2, God gives us spiritual gifts. The moment you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, you are equipped by God with spiritual gifts, things that you can do supernaturally that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. Spiritual gifts, we all get them. goes on in verse 4. It says, Paul says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit or of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So just in those verses right there, there's spiritual gifts that God gives us. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, interpretation. Those are spiritual gifts that God gives you to be able to do things supernaturally that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. You know, the gift of wisdom. Some people have supernatural wisdom. You know, God gives you the ability to understand things better because of that gift, the special knowledge. There's people who understand the Word of God better than others because of that gift that God gives them. The spiritual gift of faith. You know, everybody has faith, but not everyone has this spiritual gift of faith. You know, I have faith most of the time. You know, if I'm being honest with you, sometimes when I'm praying, a voice will whisper in my ear and will just say, you're talking to the air. And I have to wonder, you know, is God even real? Is God even really in my life? But there's other people who, like, God whispers in their ear and they take off for Africa on a 10-year mission. They just walk away from their jobs. That's God gives some people the ability to supernaturally take steps of faith that not everybody can take. The gift of healing. When you pray for people, you know, some people have a gift that they can pray for people and God's hand moves. To perform miracles, to do things that can't be done naturally. The ability to prophesy. Now, that doesn't mean telling the future. What that literally means is being the mouthpiece of God to his church. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, you can call out what's going to happen in the future. And this, you know, on this one particularly, be careful when someone comes and tell you they have that gift. I had one time when I was newly saved, didn't even know anything about the spiritual gifts. Someone came up to me and told me that she had the gift of prophecy and that this girl, this other girl that she was pointing at was the girl I was going to marry. And I was like, you know, I looked at her and I said, nope, not so much. I definitely can tell that's not. But I went home that night thinking, you know, am I in violation? You know, can they do that? You know, can someone just come and have that gift? And another time, I've had a couple times where someone came and said, I had the gift of prophecy and you need to do this. When someone comes and says, I have the gift of this and that's my authority to tell you to do that, it's not necessarily. She told me on a Sunday, I got an email from someone that said, I have the gift of prophecy and the Lord has told me that you need to fast next week, starting tomorrow, for 7 days, water only. And I was like, well, am I bound to this? Do I have to do this? And I just emailed back. I said, you'll have to sick the Holy Spirit on me because, you know, I'm just not going to do it. You have to look into what these mean, what they are, what these spiritual gifts mean. It doesn't mean you can tell other people what they need to do. It means you can be a mouthpiece to the church. It goes on and says there's a ability to speak in unknown language, the gift of tongues. After that, interpret tongues. And I know some of you are watching really closely now because, you know, there's a lot of Christians believe a lot of different things on this. Some, you know, here's the bottom line on that. I'll give you this side, you have Jesus, you have salvation. This side, you don't have Jesus, you don't have salvation. Okay, on this side, there's a lot of people who think a lot of different things. You know, if you have Christ, you have salvation. You know, some people believe that tongues was only back in the day of the apostles. Some people believe that it's active now. Some people believe if you don't speak in tongues, you're not even saved. That's not the point of any of this that I'm teaching. There's people I respect on both sides of those, and for the most part, there's plenty of black and white stuff that we need to know what the Bible says on that one. My whole point I'm trying to tell you is God has given you gifts and abilities, and he's given them to you specifically to use them to for how you're going to use them. Turn, if you could, also to there's a couple more gifts. Discernment. The gift of discernment. When I first took the spiritual gifts test, that was the one that I ended up high on, and I didn't really know what it meant. I didn't really actually even know what the word meant at the time. And he said, well, you know, it means you can kind of tell what people are up to. You can tell if they're telling the truth or not. And I thought, yeah, I totally knew that was me. But I always thought that it was because I was so full of it when I was a kid that I was kind of on the same wavelength of them. You know, God will give you the ability to be able to tell, you know, what's really going on with people. And this has happened so many times for me in counseling where I'm talking to someone and I can just tell they're lying. It's like God says, and I always say, you're not being honest with me, are you? And a lot of times I'll ask them once or twice and they'll say, you know what, I'm really not. God will give you sometimes the ability to know, you know, to be able to see through things and to be able to speak his word into their lives. You know, a side note on the you know, whether you think tongues are active, whether you think tongues are not active now, it's not something that you would ever break fellowship over with another person just because you believe one side, the other believes the other. And I have to tell you that if it was up to, if you had to have perfect theology to get into heaven, none of us would make it. Okay, none of us would make it. Don't think that you can fully ever understand God and get God, because you're not going to be able to. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be God. So, you know, it's something where I encourage you, study these, look into them, find out, you know, land on where your position is on these. Turn, if you could, also to Ephesians 4. That's a couple books to the right. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Says, now these are the gifts Christ gave, 4 verse 11 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Apostle literally means one that's sent out. There's two words that are used for this. Sometimes the apostle means just the ones who sat directly under Christ's teaching. The other one is literally means sent out. There's people who have the gift of God is sending you out. Prophets, again, that mouthpiece to God. Evangelist, does any of you know who might have the gift of evangelism? Miles, our senior pastor, has an anointing to be an evangelist, to preach the gospel. You know, matter of fact, if ever Miles preached the gospel and you raised your hand and got saved, let me see your hand. Look at that. There's a bunch of you. That's not Miles. That's God. That's God's anointing he has on his life to work through him. And thank God for me that he was faithful with that, because in 97, I had heard the gospel plenty of other times, but I heard it presented by someone who was anointed, and I ended up getting saved. Pastors, God will give you a supernatural calling to be a pastor. And the only thing I can say about that is if there's anything else you can do, do that. You know, I don't mean it like it's a bad job or anything like that. I just mean that the ones that are truly called, God will put it on your heart and there's nothing else you can do. You'll just say, that's all I can do is be a pastor. And then teachers. You know, there's people who teach. When they teach, you get it. There's people who, when they teach God's word, they can break it down in a way that you can get it. Turn, if you could, also to Romans. That's a couple books to your left. Romans chapter 12. We'll go over the last spiritual gifts. Romans 12 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So there's prophecy, service, exhortation, teaching, giving, leadership, gift of mercy. You know, again, that prophecy is being a mouthpiece. Serving, if your gift is serving, some people have an ability to serve others where they just have a heart for it, and they just do it. Teacher, again, when you teach, do people tend to get it? This one here is huge. Encourage others, or exhortation is the Christianese word for it. If you have this gift, you need to use this. God will give you, if you have the gift of encouragement, the ability to lift people up that you couldn't do on your own. You know, I believe in our church, especially nowadays, we need this more than any other time, because there's plenty of people who have at our church that have the gift of criticism. And, you know, if you have this gift of encouragement, I mean, think about it. The people you're most attracted to in your life are the people who build you up. And I also, I believe we all are called to encourage each other, whether we have this gift or not. I personally believe there's two types of people. There's people in the world who build you up, and there's people who tear you down. And we need to say, you know, when it comes to this body of Christ, we're going to be the ones that build them up. But especially if you have this gift of encouragement. The gift of leadership, the word in Greek literally means the one standing out front. You know, God will supernaturally put you in front if you're supposed to be in front. Now, this is another one that a lot of people come and say, hey, listen, I got the gift of leadership, and I don't like the way this guy's doing it, so, you know, I need to be the leader. And sometimes I look behind him, and I'm like, there's nobody following you. You know, if you think you have the gift of leadership and nobody's following you, you're just out for a walk. You know, that might mean that, you know, the Spirit hasn't really moved. You know, some of you have a gift for showing kindness, or the gift of mercy. Some of you just have passion and mercy for people. That's from God. You need to use that. You need to do it gladly. And finally, those verses we were reading. Who has spiritual gifts? All of us. In 1 Corinthians 12, the verse we were reading says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. And what are the spiritual gifts for? So we can help each other. All of us have spiritual gifts, and all of them are for a purpose. One is so that we can help each other. Also in 1 Corinthians it says, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. Your gifts are for us. They're not for just you. In Ephesians 4:12 says, when it talks about pastors and evangelists, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Okay, all these that we have are to build up the body of Christ, which is us. If you're filling up your blanks, number three, we make up the body of Christ. When I say, who are you? You need to know the Bible says we are the body of Christ. All our gifts, talents, and resources are to be used with each other to make up this body of Christ. God didn't save you so you could do your own thing. Personally, I wish that's was how it was written. I wish it, you know, live long and prosper. Just go do your thing. I don't necessarily want to have to submit all my gifts and talents into this team effort, in his body of Christ. But that's what God tells us we are. That's what we're supposed to be. And turn back to where we originally started in 1 Corinthians 12. Talks about the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? And then if you jump down to 27, it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you has a part in it. We're not supposed to be the same as someone else. We're all supposed to play our part in the body. We're not supposed to compare ourselves, but we are supposed to contribute towards this whole body where nothing is more important than the other. It takes all of us to make that entire body. And what that body's supposed to be, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the salt in San Diego, the one in San Diego that shines a light for Jesus Christ. What else are you? You know, what are you? You're supposed to be salt of the world, and you're the body of Christ. In Ephesians 5:31, the scriptures say, "A man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one." We are also, we're the body of Christ, and we're also the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Now, this took on new meaning for me. I got married 4 years ago, three years ago, a few years back, I got married. And if you ever met my wife, you would know that I definitely married up. And it was one of those things where God blessed me above and beyond. I still can't believe she actually signed the contract. my wife is hot, and she's smart, and she's not leaving. And when I read these verses about the bride, here's why they've taken on a new meaning. You know, I think of my marriage, and you know, if you were to ever hurt my wife or attack my wife or anything like that, I would physically assault you. For real. For real. And now, I know I'm a pastor and everything, but don't get it confused or mistaken. I've already purposed this in my heart. I will put all that aside, and I will not be, and gladly give that up. Now, I say that because we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. If you're filling your blanks, number four, you don't want to mess with the bride. Now, if I'm that protective of my wife, how much more do you think God is protective of his bride? I don't know if people think of that sometimes when they're attacking the church. And I'm not talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about people inside the church. If you're attacking something that's from God, at some point, God may say, you know what? This church is my bride, and squash you. You know, be careful. You don't want to. We are the bride of Christ. And that our role, part of our role in that is to protect the bride, is to be one of the ones to protect. When people have this, that, or the other to say, are you the one who just kind of lets them say it, or do you just say, hold up, don't talk that way about the church? It's our role to protect the body of Christ, the bride. You know, so when I ask you who you are, you need to know, we need to know, I need to know that I'm part of something bigger than me. You are part of something bigger than you. You know, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about we. It's about God and what God would have us do with his plan. You know, the bottom line, unless you find a way to contribute and to be a part of this body, your life will never have purpose or meaning. Okay? It will never have purpose. Like Jesus says, if your salt has no flavor, it's not good for, it's worthless. Unless you find a way to contribute and be a part of this body, you'll never have purpose or meaning. You know, number five, I found the solution to all your problems. Number five, if you're filling in your blanks, think of other people and their problems, and you will forget about your own. I have found that to be absolutely true. Whatever is going on in your life, however bad you think it is, if you find someone who has more problems than you and you minister to them, you'll forget about your own. See, in our lives, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about my problems, my worries, my concerns, my care. It's about how do I contribute to all of us. It's about how can I chip in and how can I help. Now, this is hard to do. This takes effort. You have to actually do this. You know, I my question for you as a church is who are you? Who are you? Where do you fit in to this whole body of Christ? Find your position on this team. You know, on the we're here to be salt in San Diego. What's your part? Our church has a ton of talent and resources. We have doctors here. We have lawyers here. We have FBI guys here. We have professional fighters here. I've seen professional football players here. There's a ton of talent and resources, and this is all for us to be a body, for us to be salt and light. Now, I'm always the guy who's trying to get people to do something, to do some commission. I mean, it's very simple. what we do is very simple. If you look at your bulletin, it says save, equip, and send. And there's a picture of San Diego. You know, that's our whole reason we're here for a church. And I'm always on the send in, the sending people out. That's just the message that God gives me. And here's the thing. The why of it's important. I don't actually get any commissions on how many people get involved in ministry. I've asked for them, but they won't give them to me. I know in my heart of hearts that when you go out to serve, you're the one that's going to be blessed. Okay, we go out sometimes to help the homeless, and we think, you know, I'm going to be such a blessing to them, and I'm going to help God out. You know what? God doesn't need you, and they don't need you. What happens is you end up being blessed, and the body ends up getting stronger. You know, what do you bring to the table? What are your gifts, your talents? What are you passionate about? What are your experiences? What's your holy discontent? Okay, and what I mean by that is, what group of people in San Diego do you have a holy discontent for? I know for me personally, it's usually criminals and it's drug addicts and alcoholics, because I love when people are in the gutter, reach out to God and watching God completely change their lives, because it's so much different. They were here and they were here. You know, that's just who God's wired me to. You know, what are your gifts? What are your talents? I know for me, one of my gifts is I've always loved sales. It was more because I was a hustler when I was younger and a criminal, and that kind of translated as I legitimized, kind of translated into sales. And eventually ended up me teaching and trying to figure out how to sell, you know, honestly and teach people how to do that. And it's got me in this community where I still work with some people, and I get to be salt and light in that community. I get to invite them to church. I get to share with them. Chasing money is fun, but it's not what it's all about. You know, God has me out there. You know, what are you passionate about? What are your talents? What are you passionate about? What do you love to do? What do you do when you're not here? Because you're only here for an hour and a half every week. And then you're out there in the world. Do you know God says you're supposed to be out there being salt? You're not just supposed to be living your life your own. You're supposed to be out there being salt. For me, my passion is the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I'm 100% sure that is from the Lord. I love it. And I've had an opportunity. I've had a chance to share my faith in boxing gyms and jiu-jitsu schools. I've had an opportunity to work out with Chuck Liddell and to work out with Randy Couture and to be able to talk to him about Jesus. You know, that for me, that's exciting, to be out there in the world, to be being a salt. Because I work at a church, and I'm pretty sure most of the people who work here are saved. In theory, all of them should be saved. You know, so for me to have an opportunity to be out there in the world, what are you passionate about? Where are you, you know, out there? What are you doing? What is your experiences? You know, those of you who have had drug addiction and alcohol, who better do you think God will use to minister to those people? Those of you who have been in prison, who better do you think God's going to use to minister? God will use everything, all that stuff. You were abused as a kid, well, who better to minister to those? The one who runs our foster youth ministry, she was a foster kid and started a foster youth ministry that now has hundreds of people mentoring foster kids. You know, God will take all that you have, and he will use this. He wants you to bring all this back and contribute this to this body of Christ. In 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." So God's eyes run to and fro the whole earth. He's looking for someone that's loyal to him so he can show himself strong. These spiritual gifts you have, you want to experience God, use them. Start to join up with the body of Christ and use those. God's looking for someone like that so he can show himself strong. I had talked to this single mom this week, and she has two kids, and she lost her job, and she's having a really tough time finding another job. She's really smart, and I don't know, you know, just. And I remember thinking when I was talking to her, there's someone in our church that has a job for her. You know, this is what we're supposed to be as a church. This is the way the body is supposed to work. Some of you have that you can bring to the table. You can say, yeah, I can take care of some of these people who have these needs. My assignment for you this week, my assignment's very simple. And The reason I say this is because I know majority of people that come here on Sunday aren't involved in the ministry. Over half of you are not involved in ministry. My assignment is simple. Get out of the bleachers. Get out of the bleachers. In a couple weeks, we're going to have a ministry fair, and we're going to present all the ministries. And my assignment is for you to get out of the bleachers. Otherwise, if you come here and you just sit here and just do it, then you're just a fan. You're just a fan. And my, you know, until you, if you want to experience God, if you want God to be real in your life, be a part of His body. We've got more than enough opportunities just right here at our church to serve. It's an overwhelming amount of ministries. I'm gonna run through them real quick, just because sometimes to hear what all is going on here, some of you might not have any idea all the stuff's going on. On Sundays alone, we have an altar call ministry. When people come forward and they go back there, there needs to be someone that talks to them, that prays for them, and that makes sure that they get plugged in. We have a parking ministry. I know you guys sometimes try and run them over a little bit, but they're actually with us. They're parking ministry. We have an usher ministry. Can you reach your hand out and say hello? Welcome to the Rock. You know, when people are brand new, there needs to be someone there to say hello to them. We have a children's ministry. And you know what? This children's ministry is not just watching kids. They teach kids about Jesus. And they see little kids come to the Lord. And you know what a huge blessing that is, to know that you've changed someone's eternity, you know, because you see kids come to Jesus. A youth ministry, junior and senior high. Counseling ministry. Do you have the gift of listening to other people and talking to them? Telling them what the Bible says. Prayer. Security. You know, we started this ministry. It was actually me and a couple other guys started it. It was me and this big, huge Hawaiian guy, Samoan guy. He's about, I don't know, 7'10", 550 pounds. And this other guy, huge other friend of mine, and we had this ex-Navy SEAL. And we started it off because at San Diego State, people used to just kind of jump out of the bushes and want to talk to Miles about this or that. And we had it going, and we were actually, we would secretly kind of hope that someone would go after Miles. And you know, and there was one time someone came up on the stage during Easter, and we asked him to leave, and he kept coming back. And I could tell these guys were kind of on the edge, and it was about to look really bad for this guy who wouldn't leave. So at that time, we thought, you know, we should probably get a real security ministry and actually bring some people in who know about security. And we did, and now it's grown. You know, now we have people in the FBI, people in the police department that are here on our security. And they're only here just to make sure it's business as usual here, you know, in case someone comes in trying to shoot or anything like that. They're going to jump in there and take a bullet. Worship arts ministry, you know, I'm not sure if there's a spiritual gift for it. You will have to be able to sing or play music. You can't just say, I have the gift and do it. But if you can do that, you know, come up. They're here. There's groups of people. There's men's ministry, women's ministry, young adult ministry, single moms ministry. There's outreaches in San Diego. There's a recovery ministry that started off as a Friday night meeting, and now it's they meet three nights a week. They meet 5 days a week in the morning. They have a men's recovery home. They have two women's recovery homes. That's just from one person stepping up saying, send me, I want to do recovery. We have a homeless ministry. We're in the homeless community all week long. Military ministry, every week. They meet at MCRD. There's about 500 brand new recruits, and they look like kids. They're a bunch of shaved heads. Their heads are all white. They look scared. They bring them in this big room, do church for them, preach the gospel, and these kids come down by the hundreds to get saved. You know, that's every week. You know how huge that is to be a part of that, and then to have them leave and go sent out for the rest of the world. And they do that every week. The convalescent home, every day we have people in the convalescent home. You know, if you want a perspective change in life, if you want to have your problems disappear, go talk to someone who blinks once for yes and twice for no and can't move anything else. I guarantee you, you'll leave there realizing how blessed you are. When you go to minister, when you go to be the body of Christ, you're the one that ends up being blessed. Prison, we're in the prison every single day. Foster youth, we have over 160 mentors that meet once a week with a foster kid. And, you know, foster kids sometimes have nothing at all. And we have that one person that can meet with them and keep them stable. The TJ House Building Ministry, they've built now over 100 houses in Tijuana. Now think about that. That's 100 families who did not have a house, that were living on a street, that now have a house as a result of that ministry. Coming down and saying, amen, amen. And that's all that takes is... All that takes is saying, I'll go. When's the next time they go? I'll go down. They usually go down on Saturdays. JC's Girls, that's a group of ex-strippers that go into strip clubs and minister to strippers. Talk about being a light in a dark place. They give them a gift. They preach the gospel. you know, they brought him here to church. They've seen him get saved. They've, you know, some have left that industry, you know, because someone said, you know, I want to do that. I want to be salt and light in that community. The Mexican Christian Outreach, they do crusades deep into Mexico. This is someone here from The Rock, goes deep into Mexico with a team of people, brings the whole town together, and they do little mini crusades. And literally hundreds of people per year are saved through that. You can do that. You can go with them. The deaf ministry, the disabilities ministry, the evangelism ministry, home repair ministry. We have all these sports you can be involved in: football, basketball, softball, soccer, golf, boxing, mixed martial arts. That's the best one of them all right there. And one little side note on that, someone called me the other day from this new gym, Throwdown, and wanted me to come over, and I was able to talk to him, and he said, you know, they're so stoked about The Rock and Wright Cross and all this stuff. He said, send anyone down from The Rock and we'll hook them up. And I was thinking, he's never been to The Rock. Does he think it's this little tiny church? So go down there and, you know, be salt in that community. Go down and say, hey, Tommy said, ask for Joe. Say, Tommy said, you're going to hook us up. So, you know, if that's what he says, that's what he gets. But you know what? I got to talk to a couple people. I got to talk to people. I got to talk to them about God. I got to meet other Christians there. That's our ability to be salt in another world. We got a runner's ministry. We got a fitness and nutrition ministry. You know, the first time they did their class, and they got one starting up pretty soon, the first time they did their class, I went through it. That's why I'm at 8% body fat right now. approximately. Give or take like 20. The rock climbing ministry, the volleyball ministry, there's a sailing ministry, a mountain bike ministry, a four-wheel drive ministry, a surf ministry, an art ministry. You can be salt and light in that community, in the art community in San Diego. Drama ministry, mime ministry, you know, mime ministry. And I know the leader of that goes down to the Gabriel House in Tijuana, which is a orphanage, and they minister to kids there. You can do that. You can do that. All you need is some white paint and stuff. There's a hip-hop ministry, and this hip-hop ministry is run by someone who was actually one of the choreographers for Britney Spears before she went, you know, had things not go so good for her. And by the way, just a side note, you need to pray for her. You need to pray for her. But he's actually, that's right. Don't just talk about her. Pray for her. But, you know, that's another one's ministry. You may want to have rhythm if you show up. You might. I don't know if that's a spiritual gift or not. They will let you know, though. You know, there's a spot for everybody, though. They're maybe doing the paperwork or something like that. There's a skateboard ministry. There's some new ministries. There's a recycling ministry, an eating disorder ministry, a teen track ministry. There is more than enough opportunities to be a part of the body of Christ, to be salt and light in this community, you know, through the Rock Church. And my assignment, my encouragement to you, and again, is so you'll be blessed, is for you to get off the bleachers and get into the game and find one of these and join them, because you want to experience God. This is where it's at. Be in the body of Christ. Be in the bride of Christ. Be in the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. I have two quick announcements before we pray. Number one, there's no Super Bowl here at 3, so don't come here. Apparently, it's against the rules, whatever, you know. So we're going to show them. We're not going to do it. Which was not what I said we should do, by the way, but anyway. Pick up a DVD. Share the gospel with your friends and family during the halftime while you're watching it, and let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for just giving us this, your word, Lord. We want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We want to be a part of your cause. Lord, I pray right now that you would help us to search our hearts, realize where we've been too busy for you. Show us, Lord, where you want us to fit. Show us our gifts. Show us our talents. Show us how we would be most helpful to you. Jesus, I pray if there's any person in this room that doesn't know you, that the Holy Spirit would just touch them, that they would repent and believe. And I pray for each of us that does know you, that you would truly allow us to bind our own flesh and to follow you. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.